many of the diagrams or principles that are in this series apply to every single area of life, every decision, every juncture. So yeah, and it particularly though with the cross in the center, because that is it. I can't go any deeper, any further than the cross. And certainly it was Paul who said, I preach Christ crucified. And if I preach anything else, you know, it's not a good thing. We're not going to go good places. So it is about the cross. It's about entering that narrow gate. And this morning, as I prepared again for kind of reviewed this lesson, it's easy for me to, and this isn't true of all personality types, but just to share, it's easy for me to kind of get down on what I haven't done and how I should have done before now, particularly when maybe it's something that we know in our minds to do but don't do. And yet I don't believe that there's really anywhere in Scripture that I can point to that's the call to action. You know, in other words, living this Christ life is about encountering truth. But my action point in encountering that truth ought not to be, well, I screwed up again, I failed, and that's about it. That all I can kind of dwell on is that I didn't measure up, I didn't do. The action point, if it's from the Spirit, if it's Spirit-led, is, yes, a potential, a conviction of sin, but then a moving, where do I go from here? And honestly, can I have that remote there? It's going to be too hard to, no, the other one. It's going to be too hard to track with where I'm going here. Some of these songs, actually, that we did, so this is going to be a rapid fire. You don't watch the screen. Your eyes might just, be just too fast there. Oh, wait, we're going the wrong way. Oh, shoot. I did it wrong here. Okay. That'll be, okay, we got to the beginning. That's where I want to be. Some of these songs that we did, may they not be just songs that we sing. May they not be just words. But with this, and like you said, Marilyn, with the cross being so appropriate, so applicable to every area, may these words be the same. So this morning we're talking again about finances, and we're talking about investing. And if you didn't clue in, what I'm saying is, on a personal level, I look at this lesson, and again, I think, I don't do what I know I'm supposed to do. But what I want to caution all of us in is, that's from the enemy. Okay, yes. So let's come to a point of conviction if that's what he's doing. It could be regarding investing. However, it could be regarding spending. I mean, if we're just talking about the financial area, it could be regarding giving. It could be regarding earning honestly. Wait, I don't know what it's regarding. But let's pledge to live as godly people, as godly men and women. Help us turn from sin and begin again. It's a new. If I haven't been giving generously, let's begin again. Let's not, as Paul points out, hey, let's forget the past. I'm not going to spend any more time than at all on the past and what's gone before. I'm pressing on. I'm striving toward the goal. And again, we're going to look here. I'm just going to kind of give a thumbnail sketch here of the lesson on investing, but what I really want this morning to be about is, what area is it that the Lord is speaking to you in? It may be investing. It may be, however, giving or spending or earning. But let's turn from sin. But I need help. Lord, help us turn from sin. help us begin again to live as godly men, to honor Him. And I think, what is giving? What is financial faithfulness? It's worship. This says, honor you with all our hearts to worship at your feet. Isn't it? If worship is not the three songs we did at the beginning, which are great, and I growing in that aspect of worship in my own life, but if worship is not restricted to that and worship is a lifestyle, then that includes financial faithfulness. And the question is, am I worshiping Him in that way? And we all have arenas and areas where we can grow in our worship of Him. So become men, become women of integrity, perfected by His grace. And then again, the next, I was this every song that we came out, like, yeah, this is it. What do I need to live faithfully financially? I need to be bold and strong, because generally, if I'm not being financially faithful, it's because I'm weak, not because I'm strong. Okay. Now certainly His strength is perfected in my weakness. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, though, being courageous enough to do what He's asking and calling us to do. Don't be afraid, because God is with us, even in this area of finances. Don't be dismayed. Walk in faith and victory. And by the way, regarding investing, that's what investing is all about. It's about faith. It takes the faith to see the victory. We could certainly say that the faith is part of the victory. But I'm not going to see the results, if we want to call the victory, I'm not going to see those results until I step the step of faith. Scripture in Psalm 37 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm not going to see first. I need to just taste. I need to step forward. I need to, as if it was a blind taste, oftentimes with things, whether it's physical food or anything else, we're saying, hey, let me see where this is going to go first. Then I'll decide if I'm going to go. And that's not faith. Faith is doing it now and then seeing what comes. So the encouragement is to be bold, to be strong, to take the land, to walk in faith and victory. And here again, the last one was, come just as you are. We're all at different places on the financial end of things. Some of us are just learning what it means to earn honestly, maybe. I don't know. Some of us, or those you know, and let's not restrict what we're hearing today to us. We're supposed to take what we hear that is God's truth and share it with somebody else. So maybe you or those you know, where you're at or where they're at is with regard to earning honestly. Maybe it's regarding giving. Maybe it's regarding spending. Maybe it's regarding investing. But with the Lord, it doesn't matter. Come just as you are. Just as you are, hear the Spirit call, come and see. Taste and see. Come and receive what He has. So that's really, really, honestly, we could stop there and be done, because that's he wants our hearts. He wants action, okay? But not man-made action, not manufactured. Another response that we can have is, I feel, guilty, obligated to live these new ways. That's not what He wants. It's about a expression, a response of love. He loves me so much. I understand so deeply that He owns everything, that it is a faithful, loving response to change these attitudes, change these habits, change these directions. Not dwell on what's gone before, but press on. So this whole idea of investing, okay, and this is confessedly an area where growing up, you know, it was just my reality. There's no talk of it. No, I didn't, nothing. There was no instruction, and not just from parents. I mean, that's one arena. Not just from parents, but from school. You know, I took an economics class, but it was only about, you know, these basic business. There was nothing about investing. My whole church experience, nothing about investing, as if it was either unknown or something that didn't matter relative to the other areas of finances. Because certainly there were messages on giving. There was messages on, you know, on the ideas of what your hand finds to do, do with all your might, so working hard and living on a budget and things like that. I knew that didn't mean we were, you know, that I or my family was doing all of those things, but we were hearing about them. But this investing, you know, there was no talk of it. And so it seems to be true that it's almost as if there is this idea that it's less spiritual. It's less important than the other phases. Now, remember, keep in view that we're the cycle, you know, to financial freedom is to earn honestly and to give generously and to spend wisely. And then to invest carefully. So what I want you to do is, as we look at this in investing, this is financial freedom, which comes about by financial faithfulness. What I want you to do is, you know, this is a wheel. Think about this like a wheel, a round wheel. You know, there are no square wheels. You don't go over it, or no triangular wheels. And what I'm saying is, if I'm only doing this one, and this one, it's a triangle. I've stopped short of God's plan His vehicle, by the way, for taking care of His people, right? In spending, in giving, our giving lesson. Remember, we talked about giving brings a return, brings an increase. And it's about acknowledging God first and foremost, but the arms of it is to help the needy and to spread the gospel. You remember that? There won't be any money to get if I have a breakdown here, right? A breakdown in the cycle. It means that I'll have to earn honestly till I'm living my last breath, okay? Which, that isn't to say, again, not to do, I mean, you know, that isn't to say that God hasn't done that also for people, okay? But this is his ideal plan. This is the ideal, okay? So how do I get this money to give the way all throughout my entire life? It's by running the whole cycle, which includes investing. So let's look at this idea of investing then. And we simply, and it's appropriate to be in the setting we're in, agricultural setting, in all the local little towns around here. Not everybody's a farmer anymore, but everybody looks around and says we're in an agricultural community. And so we liken the earning, the honest earning, to a stalk of wheat. Okay, so as we follow along here, this stalk of wheat could represent what you earn. Okay, so this is your earning. Bible talks about the fruit of your labors. Have you heard that? Okay, so just think about your earning as that fruit. So this is what I earn. Now, we've strategically put 10 little kernels on the wheat stalk here. And if I'm misusing an agricultural term, you can correct me later or even right in the middle of it. Okay, But the first thing we want to do, the first thing is we want to give. I don't have my phone. Is it bad? Okay. So the first thing, I take this first part as if in tenths, the tithe is a tenth, and I give this to God. This tithe, I think those words are reversed in the diagram in the book, but I give that away. That's the first thing I do with this earning. Okay? Then, remember that the first phase in the cycle is to earn. So this brings in whatever that money is, whatever that represents. The next thing is to give. And then I take this majority of what's left and I spend it. So it is, by the way, gone. I'm not going to see that dollar again. Okay? Which was another, you know, when I have that as a constant mindset, I'm not going to see that dollar again. I may see a new dollar, right? Certainly will. But I'm not going to see that one again. When that is my guiding thought, I don't know about you, but when that is my guiding thought, it changes my spending. I'm not going to see that one again. When it's not my guiding thought, it also changes my spending. Okay?
I always ask myself, do I really need this?
Right.
And most of the time, it's no. I save a lot of money with that short little phrase.
Yeah.
Do I really need this?
Right. Right. And oftentimes, it's in the little things, not so much the big things. But I won't start talking about things like coffee and stuff. I won't go to those places. We won't talk. We don't want to bring condemnation. Only spirit-led conviction. Okay. Just a reminder. Just a gently friendly reminder that just you know, it's gone. Never to be seen again. The point obviously that we're making here is, if I've spent wisely, and see, here's the thing. It doesn't mean that I can't spend, right? Am I spending wisely so that I have some left? Okay? And this is one of the ways of looking at this, and it came up in our, for those that were in the discussion last week, one of the ways of thinking about this is paying yourself. Now, that kind of sounds selfish, but one of the spins on this is paying yourself first. Meaning, really, you give first, then you pay yourself next, which is this investment. Now, what that means is you're setting aside monies that you won't spend to then invest. Now, whether that investment looks like a savings account or an investment portfolio or whatever, that's not what... This lesson isn't about actually how to invest. There's experts for that. But have I spent everything so that I have nothing left? Or do I have a remainder here? Okay, and of course you're seeing where this is going, particularly if you've read the lesson in advance. This investment then is what goes in the ground. Okay, this becomes your next seed. So this will start to grow. This is growing. Now, the rate of growth, of course, depends on the investment. It depends on what kind of investment it is. You know, my wife and I mentioned to my wife this, you know, that we're talking about investing, and she said, "Well, at least we have some in savings that it's getting, you know, such and such percentage." But it's getting something. You know, it's not other people. Consider investing, hiding it under a mattress in times like these, right? I don't think that's what God meant when he meant by investing. But certainly, some people have invested as a matter of faith, which involves inherent risk, and what's happened? Lost it, right? But that's the point. That I have to be willing to step into that risk, step into that faith. That's what that you look at all these scriptures, the key scripture included. That's what investment is about. It's about taking that leap of faith. I don't know really what's going to happen with this, but I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to put it in His hands. As it grows, of course, then we get the next stalk, and it becomes the new cycle. Okay. So there are many reasons to invest that we could list, of course, regarding what I've already mentioned. I mean, the most significant reason to invest is God said to. Okay? I mean, it's as simple as He said to do it. It isn't given less billing, less airtime, Bible time, than giving or spending or earning. Okay? He said to. The second main reason to invest is for this to happen. Is so that when I can't work anymore, I have my cycle going because I have income from the investments. Obviously, for emergencies, and you know that may be the growth step. Is someone may have had zero money whatsoever at all in the account, and now maybe there is an emergency fund. And after an emergency fund is built, then there's then monies that are going in the ground could be going to actual investments that are spoken of course. Obviously, leaving an inheritance. Strictly speaking, the Bible talks about leaving your inheritance to whom? You know? Who? Grandchildren. Grandchildren. Is what the Bible. That doesn't mean you can't leave it to your children if you have an inheritance, but yeah, sorry, kids, but we're barely squeaking by. So by the time the grandkids, you know, we're gonna have some stuff for the grandkids, right? So why invest? God said it. Okay? Simple as that. God said it. It's His plan that will bring about the second reason, which is so that I can have money in my later years to run the cycle, to give and to spend and to reinvest. So those are the big two, right? Then you get over on this other side. What are the things you're going to do with it? Well, you're going to be able to give your life away in what the world calls retirement, okay, whether that's giving to church, to missions, to community, whatever that looks like, you're going to have money for emergencies, you're going to have money for inheritance. And then the last point, and we have forms in the back of this book to look at to get me out of it, is if I'm in debt, then getting out of debt is the first thing to do with this money. Okay, so I look at what I've got. I make my budget, make my plan. I give the first part. I spend what wisely, which leaves me with whether it's 50 cents, $5, or $300, you know, whatever that is, I'm putting that to getting myself out of debt because that is investing in my future financial freedom. Okay? And there are some very practical, rather simple, and don't forget that simple doesn't mean easy, right? Pulling weeds is not complicated. It's not a very, you know, we don't have to go to school to figure out how to pull weeds. But it's hard work. Okay? It's hard to get myself to do it. So there are some very actual simple steps to get out of debt. The question is whether or not I'm going to do them. Okay. So I want to bring this back full circle and say, let's live as godly people, as people of God who function in His ways, who, because of a debt of love, because of an understanding of ownership, gladly, rejoicingly, earn honestly, spend wisely, or give generously, spend wisely, and even invest carefully. Let's pray. Father, I do specifically ask that You would convince us through Your Holy Spirit of truth, convict us of sin, but that we would push aside, that we would push through any potential condemning, guilting, shaming feelings, Father, that we would hear Your still small voice speak to our hearts in this arena of finances, and that we would respond, that we would forget the past and move forward from today and make changes, the changes that You show us, that You specifically lead us to. Thank You for You being so faithful to us, so honoring to us, so patient with us, so loving and merciful and kind. In Jesus' name, amen.